Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 70. I am your sometimes host, Michael Booth Ninja Powers. I am joined by the guy that is always the host, Steve Megatron Phillips.
Yo.
And TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
I'm finally getting over the cold I had, but still not feeling 100% yet.
I'm better than I was 2 days ago. I took lots of DayQuil, and I am good.
See, I don't get sick. My wife does. She gets sick once a year, like every November she gets sick. This year she was sick all through November, so that was fun. And it's interesting because my sister's fiance, my other sister's husband, they also get sick like once a year, and they get really badly sick. But my sisters and I, we never get sick. And it's kind of like, maybe we do get sick, but we're just not big babies about it. I don't know. But for the other three, you know, our better halves, when they get sick, you might as well think it's like the end of the world.
It's the same with me. This is the first time I have been this sick since I was probably 15. Like, I get like a small cold every now and then, but this was like full-on cough, hack, sneeze. Every time I would sneeze, I literally, kid you not, the pain would go through my entire body and end up in my leg for some odd reason. I don't know what is going on with it, but it's just, I don't ever get this sick. And I don't know, maybe it's stress. Who knows?
See, I don't get sick. Like, I get a head cold, and then it goes away. Like, and then I just immediately, as soon as I feel it coming on, I just start down in DayQuil, and then I'm fine within like a day. I don't know. I don't make a big deal out of it. Everybody else is like, oh, I'm sick, blah, blah, blah.
The other thing,
but I have to hear people do it at work, and then my wife is like double whamming because she's sick and she's pregnant, so.
See, for me, it's like, I mean, maybe I get sick, but I don't ever feel like I get sick like it's the end of the world sick, because I've never had, like, the flu, I've never had pneumonia or bronchitis or anything like that. The only time I remember being legitimately sick was, like, chickenpox in, like, second or third grade. And I just remember getting a bunch of G.I. Joe toys while sitting on the couch. But one of the things that I do kind of like, even when I feel like might be mildly sick or whatever, I just love like trying over the counter medicines. Like, I love NyQuil. Like, I know it's not to say it was like actually tripping out on something that can make you trip out, but like I like that. To me, that's like as close as I'll get to get like tripping out. It's like just getting to take some NyQuil or something like that.
Wow,
it's fun.
So that's what really happens behind the scenes of Off the Cuff.
No, that involves beer. So.
Nice.
You never mix the two, though.
No. Never mix beer with cough syrup.
There'd be some real nice hallucinations, though.
I can smell colors.
And it tastes like plastic. This will be the final episode of the year, because let's face it, there's holidays and nobody has time for anything.
You have better things to do.
Yeah, we have other stuff to do. There's that. Still have the Wars tournament going on, which I'm not going to talk about here because it doesn't matter. Well, I mean, it does, but it doesn't. It's on its own thing. We will have the GCRN Awards coming up again. I'll have the just kind of light information on it as far as there's going to be the categories, but it's going to be a fill-out form that people get to put their own entries into so that we're not sitting there deciding the top five of each category.
Yeah.
Like last year. See, I said it would be better this year. So now, whatever the top five most brought up submissions for each category are, those will be the top five. And then people will get to vote on those, because those will be made public, and then that's when they'll get revealed in the awards show.
I submit, just to clarify, if, like, let's say, because you pick the top five, right? So let's say, like, 10 people write in a submission, but everyone has something different. At that point, we will just pick the first five things in the list alphabetically. I think that would be the most democratic way to do that.
I think it'd be funnier to just do every other one and then skip every third one, so that it would be like at 1-5.
There you go.
But yeah, so that's what'll happen. Course of January to March. January will be the fill out the blank. February will be vote on the top five, and March, the beginning of March, will be the actual awards show.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, just getting that out of the way now.
Fantastic.
Yes. Should be interesting this year, just because there's more categories and it's more split up among things. And seeing what people actually put in there, because I know that some things weren't represented last year, but that was because of lack of knowledge on our behalf. That's some
okay.
of ours.
That's okay. Yep. This year's going to be better, because we're going to rely on the fans to tell us. All five of you.
Actually, it's a joke. There's more than five.
Yeah. It's almost like a double joke.
The yeah. five of you that will take the time to fill out said survey.
Don't worry, there'll be less pages to click this year, too.
Click.
It was as much of a pain in the ass for me as it was for you.
Clickbait.
I tried clickbait. It doesn't work. I don't even like it, so it's going to be a hell of a lot shorter this year. Images will be smaller, too, so it'll fit more on a page. Cuts work down for me. So, yeah, there's that. And then I think that's it. Then we'll be, after the awards, we'll be kind of teasing and pimping out the next top 100.
Yep.
Which I'm excited for, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be nice to have control.
okay.
Yeah. All right, the under jokes are gone.
I was just like, I told you to shoot one over their heads, not up his nose.
So yeah, there's that, and been a lot going on as far as TV and other kinds of news-ish things that cover. Should we talk about the Flash versus Arrow crossover first, since there seems to be a lot of conversation about that lately?
Sure. Take it away, Mike.
Well, I mean, the abridged version is, I thought the episodes were too similar to each other. You know, you watch Flash first and, you know, you see them, there's like a rivalry, which for one, I felt the rivalry came out of that intense of a rivalry. I felt came out of like nowhere, but let me preface this by saying I liked both episodes. I really did. It's just, I watched, you know, you watch Flash first and I really enjoyed it. I liked it. I liked the way it ended and it left things. And then you go over and you watch the episode of Arrow, which is the second part of it. And it just starts retreading the same water, but kind of like looking at a negative of a film. So in the Flash episode, Arrow shows up and saves the Flash from some incident. And in the Arrow episode, Flash shows up and saves the Arrow in some incidents. And then from that point on, the tension that was there in the first in the Flash side shows up again in the Arrow side. And it's kind of like, didn't we just have this already in the same, like, you know, in the other episode? Shouldn't we be moving on to like a new ground? But at the end of the day, you have to sit back and realize these aren't true crossover episodes. The story doesn't go from one episode to the next. Each episode is framed to work within its own show so that fans that don't want to watch The Flash don't have to watch The Flash, and those that don't want to watch Arrow don't have to watch Arrow, but they can still enjoy their respective shows.
I kind of disagree with that, though.
With what part?
As far as the fact that they're not an actual true crossover with the storylines, because they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. They mention Boomerang in the Flash thing, and then lo and behold, when we get to Arrow, it's Boomerang.
Yeah, but you don't need to see... But we already knew Boomerang was going to show up from the end of the episode before this one in Arrow. So you don't need to watch The Flash to know that Boomerang is going to show up. You know he's already going to show up. You don't, like, the things that tie the two episodes together are, like, very thin, and they're just, like, the basically, like, the opening and the closing of each episode are the only things that really tie them together. Like, the core, like, the villain doesn't carry over. Like, Boomerang does not show up in Flash. Boomerang is just mentioned. He does not show up in The Flash.
And he's going to eventually, though, isn't he?
Yes, but that's not any different than the Clock King showing up in Flash. It's not...
That's true.
Now,
when you say they did the same thing in both episodes with the animosity, are you specifically meaning Flash and Arrow, or are you meaning these side characters as well?
More just like Flash and Arrow. I felt like they were, even though Arrow takes place after Flash, right? I felt like they were still kind of, you know, I felt like in Flash they kind of came to an understanding with each other. Basically, that the Flash, you know, the Arrow can take the Flash, and the Flash can, it's a wash between the two of them. But yet, when you step over, when the Flash steps over to Arrow's world, it becomes, it's basically retelling the same thing again. But like I said, that's because there are people that aren't going to watch Flash.
I still felt Arrow was a learning experience for Barry, because Barry's world isn't like Oliver's at all, and that's the point.
And that comes out, and that's fine. They come straight out and say that. That's like the critical point. But we have yet to see if that carries back over into how they handle themselves in The Flash. I mean, I haven't seen the mid-season finale, so I don't know. Maybe it does, but
without spoiling it, I will say that it they don't reference it or anything else. They don't really call too much attention to it, but you can tell that Barry is taking responsibility for certain things, so that's about as much as I can say without spoiling it.
But he was starting to do that anyways. He's been starting, and if you remove the crossover episodes from these seasons, they have very little bearing on what happens after them.
Mm.
And that's fine. It was this was basically just glorified fan service. I liked both episodes.
It's almost as exciting as having Batman versus Superman, except this actually makes sense and is more intelligent, I think. But
that's only because you have three seasons of one show, and the other one's built off of the back of the other one. So
yeah.
Well, the sad thing is, and this is the only thing I'll say about the finales, is that the mid-season finales, is that I've seen all of Arrow at this point, and I like Arrow. It's a great show, but the season three mid-season finale. Just, I don't know. I mean, I liked Flashes a hell of a lot more.
Well, like I said, I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not spoiling it. We'll save that. Yeah. But
I know
Flashes, I could see it leading in this direction. Arrows, I was like, WTF.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
I'll watch them soon. I watch them with my wife. I can't watch them tomorrow.
Well, like Flash, I watch with my wife, and then, and it totally confused her conversation-wise, and she's sitting here asking me, and I'm like, well, you see, there's this, this, and this, and she's like, yeah, okay. Because I know enough of background research of characters to know who they are now, and...
Now you're just making stuff up.
Yep. That's basically. She's like, well, it didn't happen here, and I'm like, well, it's going to some degree, because they are mixing like a lot of Barry Allen's and Wally West's kind of realities.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain to my wife when we were watching we were watching something. I can't remember which episode we were watching, but I was trying to explain to her that this is kind of an amalgamation of the Flash. Because I don't follow their names very well, because my understanding of these characters is pretty much limited to the Justice League stuff. But, and they don't go too much into the origins of the Flash, but isn't my understanding one of the Flashes gets his speed from a chemical reaction, and the other one is in tune with the Speed Force?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think they're all in tune with the Speed Force, but I think what happens is one's born to it.
Okay, and one's exposed to it.
And I think Barry Allen's the one that had the chemical one.
Okay, and this is kind of like this does seem to me like an amalgamation of the two. From my understanding of them.
Mm.
That's fine. I'm not knocking the show at all. It's whatever.
I like that Arrow got a new costume. That was very similar to his previous one.
Yeah, that he just has a little shoulder pad now.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I noticed that was different.
Well, they're like, oh, we made it lighter, and it has more storage compartments in it, and they're like, and we, you know, and they brighten some of the green on it, but you can't really tell because everything's shot so dark.
You know, I was really secretly, some small part of me was really hoping that it would be the Green Arrow costume from Smallville. And he'd be like, no.
I have this inkling of a feeling that by season 4, we're going to see him donning the Green Arrow title and having more of a green suit.
Do you think he's going to wear the Robin Hood hat? That's the question.
I don't think so. I don't think this version ever will.
No, because I don't think he will either, because
I think he'll always wear the hood, and I think he'll just grow out his facial hair more.
Yeah.
He'll be the Green Hooded Arrow.
And I still think it's weird they're turning Laurel into Canary. Like, I know Dinah Laura Lance is the Canary. I understand that is the original character, but since they set the show up and made Sarah the Canary first, I just think it's weird.
They made her Canary, but they didn't make her Black Canary.
Yeah.
And for me, this is all I really say about this, because my wife showed me something that I can't unsee in Arrow. Like, she noticed it.
Uh-oh.
Like, a scene that ends with Laurel,
mm-hmm.
she's always distraught.
Mm-hmm.
Every scene you see Laurel in, and it's like a scene transition, she's the last thing you see, she's always distraught. Every time. And now I can't unsee that. Every time I'm watching a show, it could be the most serious thing, and I see that, and I'm like, oh, it's a scene transition coming up.
That's funny.
But
I've never noticed that.
You won't be able to unsee it now. So I'm wondering if that goes away when she becomes Black Canary. But I feel like, out of everything that's happened in Arrow, and I feel like everything that's happened in Arrow has been earned. Like, nothing has just kind of happened just to happen. But for something about Laurel's transition into Black Canary feels very forced to me.
Yeah, because all of a sudden she just has this intense rage and wants to fight. And
I feel like, and I guess it's because she's going to go through that transformation in one season. If it was over the course of this season, like she showed up as the Black Canary at the end of it, or maybe like going into season 4, like maybe I could buy it a little more, but I feel like they're just kind of ham-fisting it into this season. I feel like it's the most unearned part of Arrow.
Well, I have a feeling, just based on some titles and stuff and some events that happen in the later episodes of Arrow, that I think that the second half of this season she's going to get a lot of screen time, and she may actually don the suit, but she's going to be very raw at it.
Well, we'll just have to see how earned it feels.
I don't know how earned it is, but I think that they're doing it out of necessity for part of the story to progress.
But see, you didn't have to make that part of the story.
They could have done Roy.
Yeah, like that would be a better, for me, that would be a more natural progression, because he just kind of became red. Like, we never saw that transfer. He just shows up this season and he is Arsenal. Like, wait, what? Because all of last season it was a Mirakuru freak.
Yeah, and Laurel was a drunk.
Oh, that was the... I think we mentioned this in Remote Control, but I understand that part of her character had to happen. I still didn't care for it.
No, there's a whole lot about Laurel that I care about. She's the least interesting person in that show.
I agree.
She is the sky of Arrow.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, I could kind of equate it with that. Sky, though, I think. Have you seen the season finale?
No, haven't.
Okay.
I know big things happen. Yeah. I know big things happen.
Okay, well, when big things happen, I think she'll actually start to actually come into her own finally.
I mean, Sky's been better this season than she ever was in the first season.
Well, yeah, because they made her fight.
Yes.
She doesn't just stand there, oh, man, I don't know about this.
Yep. But I wish they would have had the whole... I feel like Laurel should be kind of like angsty doing the whole boxing thing like all through this episode, like all through this season. And we probably should have followed Arsenal.
See her doing it more?
That and followed Arsenal a little more. Not that way we can understand where that character came from, because like we just admitted he just kind of showed up at the beginning of this season. And the whole Laurel just feels like the most ham-fisted part of this. I mean, he's earned, and you see that with how he's called something different in every season. You know, he's the Vigilante, he's the Hood, he's the Arrow.
So now we need Green Arrow next season.
Those are earned titles, you know. So and there's things that happen in each season that, you know, normal superhero shows and a lot of movies don't even get, you know.
I think that they're going to have their opening to finally give some of these characters screen time. A little bit in the rest of the season, and not to mention that everybody knows they're bringing in Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows he reveals the suit in that last episode. Even though it's not actually the suit, it's like a 3D projection, like Tony Stark-ish.
Yeah.
So, it's...
I like the references they use, though. I won't say what they are, but I like the references they use. That was kind of awesome.
Yeah, and then they give him a backstory and a reason for doing what he's doing.
And I will also say that most people that have heard me on GCRN in the past know that I am not a fan of Superman Returns. And
he's really good in the show.
Right, but just based on that's the only thing I've ever seen Brandon Routh in, I thought he was a horrible, horrible actor based on that movie alone. And he's not that bad as Ray Palmer in this.
I have zero qualms with Brandon Routh. In fact, he's one of those people that if he's in something, I'll watch it. Because I do like him. The interesting thing, I don't know if you guys know this. You might know this already, so I'm not trying to talk down to you guys. But Ray Palmer wasn't supposed to be Ray Palmer in this season. Something happened. They were supposed to do Blue Beetle.
Really?
Yes. And it's actually the Blue Beetle arc that is being followed for Ray Palmer. That's the trajectory that they're on. There's a comic book storyline revolving the Blue Beetle and Ermac?
Mm-hmm.
OMAC.
Tying into OMAC.
OMAC is Mortal Kombat. OMAC and Blue Beetle were like a thing in a storyline in the comic, and it was supposed to be Blue Beetle, but they couldn't use that character. I think DC said they couldn't use that character. So they went with, they transitioned it into Ray Palmer and the Atom. So.
Interesting.
So if that gives anyone any insight as to where that's going.
No clue. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm paying attention here and there to Arrow. I'm having more fun with The Flash right now. I'll catch the full season of Arrow when it hits Netflix, whenever it does. I mean, I'm caught up, but I'm just not... I don't know. I'm just not that invested in Arrow anymore now that Flash has come around.
To me, it's like Batman Light.
But it's always been that.
But the first season, it kind of rubbed me wrong because of that. But I also, I think that, you know, because again, they don't know what they're doing right away. They do, but they don't. And season 2 got better. Season 3, I think, has been a hell of a lot better. it's progressively getting, you know, getting better. Whereas Flash, the only reason it's so successful is not only does he have powers, but he branched off of Arrow.
Yep.
So the introduction was already began in that, and then they just kind of, you know, he grew his own wings from there, so.
Oh, here we go, real quick. And then we can move on, depending on how long this conversation takes. we know that TNT gave a pilot order to Teen Titans.
Yes.
And that Nightwing is going to be a part of it.
Yes.
Do we still think Nightwing is going to show up in Arrow?
No.
Yes.
Wait, did you both say no?
He said no, I said yes.
No.
I think he's going to show up in Arrow still.
I think he will, because they've mentioned Bloodhaven.
They've mentioned and they cast CW regular as Nightwing, so...
There'll be a crossover. It's the same guys running everything.
Yeah.
Is he doing the Teen Titans show?
I'm pretty sure one of them is.
Okay. Because TBS...
I think it's the Berlanti guy or whatever. Yeah,
TNT is not tied to CBS and CW,
no,
are they?
They're not, no.
Okay. That's the Turner, what is it, TNT, Turner Network Television? Network
Television,
well,
yeah.
It's not.
And then CBS is run by Viacom. Is it Viacom? Oh, God, I can't remember.
Anyways, yeah, I don't think we're going to see that kind of, if it's a different, completely different network, I don't think you're going to see that happen. But it'll be interesting to have two Nightwings on television. Am I the only one that's hoping Teen Titans is a comedy? I really wish the live-action Teen Titans was a 30-minute comedy. Hmm. I could get behind that.
So it'd be like watching...
The Bitch in Apartment 23?
Okay.
Or Friends with superheroes?
Only better.
I was going to say, yeah, if the Friends series had superheroes, that would have been a hell of a lot better show than what it was.
I just think that would be, I think that would be interesting, because all these superhero shows, right, they're taking themselves seriously. I mean, yes, Flash is funny, but Flash is still taking itself seriously. I think it'd be an interesting take to get, you know, a live action comedy, and especially with something like the Teen Titans, where you could basically do a spoof on what is that MTV series, not there's Road Rules, and what's the one where they all just live together in a city?
Real World,
like just do Real World Teen Titans.
God, can you imagine if they did a Teen Titans in the style of Real World Road Rules Challenge? They actually teamed those two shows up and had them go across country, kind of like The Amazing Race.
What channel was that on?
MTV.
Oh, the channel that used to have music.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, according to what I'm looking at here online, and we all know 50-50 CBS and Warner for CW, yet on TNT's Wikipedia page, and again, it's Wikipedia, take it with a grain of salt, they are listed as having, sister channels, never mind. I thought it was their other... parents, because I know that they own a lot of I know the Turner Networks own a lot of channels, but
well, TNT is owned by Turner Broadcasting System,
right?
TBS, and a subsidiary of Time Warner,
right?
Which I believe includes Warner Brothers.
So we might get a crossover there if that's the case. But yeah, you're right.
Or is Time Warner by itself now? I think Time Warner is just a name.
No.
No? I'm not Googling any of this stuff. I'm talking out of my ass.
I'm looking it up. Yeah, it says some of their major divisions. Yeah. I think they're still tied. They own CW, though.
Well, you know what? We will figure it out if it's the same Nightwing.
Yeah.
If it's different, yeah. if it's a different Nightwing, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yep. They have it. It's all connected. Ha ha. Bad Marvel joke.
Was it 7 degrees of Arrow?
something like that.
So what
Arrow
is
the center of this universe, which is why it's good. It's not a. It's not one of the core seven being the main.
Now all we need is Kevin Bacon to do a guest appearance on Arrow.
Oh, hell with that.
Does this mean that Arsenal's going to go over to the Teen Titans show?
You know, that would actually be really interesting and good because the fact that the Atom's probably going to end up splitting to his own show eventually.
You think Supergirl will show up in Arrow before she shows up in a pilot on CBS?
No.
You never know.
What about Flash? Don't forget Flash. I mean, yeah, yes, we're all thinking Arrow because, you know, Arrow launched the Flash, but Supergirl could show up in the Flash.
Well, they're going to have Gorilla Grodd, I know, in the second half.
I can't wait to see how my wife handles that.
I can't wait to see that too, because it's gonna be awesome. Now, the Reverse Flash, they did kind of reveal who this iteration is. They kind of revealed, because we all know there's more than one Flash or Reverse Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm kind of looking for a yes or no or just vagaries here, but nothing spoilerish. Forgive me, I don't know the scientist's name.
Wells,
yes. I get that dark, creepy vibe off of him, but I also see a guy that's just trying to prevent something from happening.
I'll say this, he's not a new god.
Oh, I'm just like...
I'll say this, they based him off another character.
Which character?
He's supposed to be, basically, I'm trying to tie his name to the character at this point. He's basically one of those guys that's trying to keep Barry at his best through the entire thing.
Right.
Because of the future and everything.
Yep.
Using an alias of someone else to do it, because there's nothing really tying him. You know, he's not really of this time, obviously.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't feel like he's a bad guy. I feel like he's just trying to prevent something from happening. Kind of like, there was another movie, I feel like there was another movie or TV show that did this same kind of... Oh, you know what it was? Actually, it was a video game that I played. It was the first Infamous. Involves time travel. Spoilers for anyone that hasn't or isn't going to play Infamous, but the villain of Infamous is the main character that you play as. But he travels back and forces himself to become a hero by playing the villain to better prepare him for what's to come in his future.
Yeah, that's basically what's going on.
Okay. So he's not necessarily like a bad dude. He just feels like a bad dude.
Yeah, he feels like a bad dude because he's willing to do whatever it takes to get Barry to be his best.
Gotcha. Okay, that's what I was starting. That's what I was starting to think of. Because I was like, you know, some of this stuff is just like is good to a fault, but never bad. So, all right. Well, that answers that one.
But there is the, you know, obviously there's the fact that, you know, Arrow and Wells don't trust each other for good reason.
I do like how Wells just knew who he was.
After he did some research.
I just like that line.
That we don't see. I mean, we assume he did research, but we don't see it. Unless we did and I missed it.
He's supposed to have this, like, photographic memory anyway, so...
Well, I just assumed he's from the future, so why wouldn't he know?
I mean, that paper...
Isn't that paper from, like, 2040 or
2025.
2025. I know one of the things says, Wayne Tech Industries buys...
Queen Consolidated. Yep. Mm-hmm. Even though it's Palmer Industries.
Right now.
Yeah.
I just love that line from Oliver. There's something not right with that guy.
So, yeah. Oh.
Yes?
What are your thoughts on Mark Hamill reprising his role as the Trickster?
That's going to be interesting. I do remember seeing... I watched that night... What was it, the 90s? 90...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't remember what year it was. I watched that entire series back in 2004 or 5. Man, that was awful. just horrid. But it'll be interesting to see what type of trickster he plays, I guess.
Well, what they're saying is, because this will be the third person that's brought over from the original 90s one, because obviously the female doctor from the first one is going to be in this one as the same character.
Mm-hmm.
If she hasn't already shown up, I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't recall a female doctor off the top of my head.
But, so she's in it, and then, of course, the original Flash is the dad of Flash. But Mark Hamill is going to be playing the Trickster, or an older version, basically the original Trickster, but he's going to be in jail, and there's going to be a copycat. So he's going to have to help Flash capture the copycat, in essence.
I said to Steve off air, I said the only thing I can think of when I think of Mark Hamill now being the Trickster is, all I can think of, this is so sad, is the cock knocker from Jay and Silent Bob. Strike back.
forgive me, I've only seen that movie once and never again. So.
I watched only the part that has Mark Hamill in it. Because the rest of it I found to be incredibly bad. And I only watched it because Mark Hamill was in it.
Like
a cross between the Joker's voice with like his Luke Skywalker type speech and kind of a cross between that and the Trickster's style.
Yeah, that idea, that concept for the character sounds interesting enough for me. I mean, I wasn't like, oh God, what are they going to do? This is going to be horrible. I was more just, you know, going off of, you know, what Flash has done and what Arrow's done. But I very much was just like, well, we'll see what they do. Can't be that bad, right?
Nope. So, yeah, there's that. So I guess we can move on. What are your thoughts about... Because, I mean, I basically said canceled, but it's not canceled, but it's kind of canceled. Continuum.
You know, I don't... I feel like I watched... I don't really want to get into spoilers for season three, but didn't season three kind of like end with a war about to start or some kind of like
there was a collision of another alternate timeline where I'm trying to figure out what the hell his name was because I haven't seen the show in a while. It's the guy that kind of worked with the Genius Boy.
Okay.
Again, can't remember his name at the moment.
We're great at this.
Yes.
That guy that was in that thing that one time next to that other actor.
All right.
One time at actor camp?
I've got the names. Okay. Matthew Kellogg.
Okay.
How he bought the company of Alex Sadler.
Yep.
And then Alex Sadler went to... Pyron to run his dad's company, and even though there were two of Alex Sadler's running around.
Yep, I remember that.
So there's that, and then they more or less, because he's not, you know, the original one signed a bunch of crap that Kellogg handed him and essentially handing over all of his stakes to the company.
I'm just trying to remember the last episode.
So Kellogg, what happened? Okay. What happened is Kellogg is the start of this new rebellion type thing, which because he owns all the companies now, he ends up the most powerful man, and Sadler is no longer in the picture in the future.
Okay.
He's not the kingpin. It's Kellogg that's the kingpin.
Right.
So he sends back guys.
That's it. Okay. Yep. Now I remember.
To destroy the stuff in the past and... So, essentially, Kira Cameron ends up fighting with Liberate against the second half of the future people.
Right.
The alternate timeline people. So.
Yeah, no, now I remember how it ended. Yeah, so I have seen all of season three. I'm looking forward to season four, and the fact that it's only six episodes means I don't have to waste a lot of time watching it.
And I'm kind of glad that even though I know it's ending, that they're actually giving it a proper send-off.
Now, I just hope it's an actual proper send-off because Warehouse 13 got 8 episodes for its final season, and they lollygagged around for like 5 of those episodes. It was,
well, as far as I've read from Nichols and various other cast members, they've said that, and even some of the writers, they've said that they're planning on sending it off right without having any like loose end type stuff, which I kind of find hard to believe with 3 seasons under its belt and that screwed up of a timeline issue at the end of season 3.
Because isn't her timeline gone now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, it no longer exists, so technically her kid doesn't exist, her husband, none of that.
Whee!
They're stuck.
Well, just get on with your lives, people.
Yep.
Show's over, go home.
Pretty much. You know, they do say turn off the television, so...
There you go.
So yeah, there's that. Not sure if it's a mistake or a good thing or a bad thing, I thought it was kind of strange that they're actually giving it 6 episodes to send it off and then killing it.
6, because they didn't want to pay for 12.
It's sad. But maybe they won't have all the filler garbage either.
Yep. That's what I'm hoping for.
So, we'll get all story, hopefully. Then this past week, they had the Girls Meets World thing. I know you said you don't watch it, but... the only reason it kind of resonated for me is because they brought back a lot of old cast members. So it was, again, playing the nostalgia card. But they did it very tastefully.
Oh, yeah.
Not just like, oh, hey, so-and-so is here. And then so-and-so. It was like an actual like kind of family gathering thing. And they've actually kind of rewrote back in Sean.
How long have Corey and Topanga been together? Because the episode before this one was their 15th wedding anniversary. Okay?
Yeah.
So if they've been married for 15 years, and in the episode where they're arguing about... In the episode of Boy Meets World where they're arguing about their wedding, and Corey is like, "We've been in a relationship for 17 years. Let me touch something." It's like, holy crap, those people have been together for a hell of a long time in that universe.
17 years?
32 years total if you count the time that... Wow, damn. And they're about our age, really, in real life. But no, the Girl Meets World thing was really awesome. It was...
They are leading up to future things. Sean's going to be he's going to be more consistent of a player in the show now. And then I know Feeny and Friedel will be back in season 2.
Yeah,
quite frequently.
Yeah.
So it's essentially going to be pulling a lot of the nostalgia card back in to kind of keep it going, I think. But I think that because it's all the original people involved, I think that's the only reason it's doing as well as it is and playing the cards right. Otherwise, I think it would bomb majorly.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, what was your favorite funny part from Girl Meets Home for the Holidays?
I don't know. I liked the whole episode better than a couple of the other ones we got recently. Like, I didn't... Some of the other ones, like, recent, I didn't really care for as much. This one, it kind of... you know, resonated again because the nostalgia glasses came on.
Yeah. I think for me it was when she said she was going to throw the pot at Corey. And then she tried to.
And then he caught it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But... And then in other news this past week, we've had Pirate Bay go down.
Yeah, so if anyone knows of any good torrent sites,
let us know.
Leave those in the comments down below. Because
I'm sad.
Not only did Pirate Bay go down, but Easy TV went down.
But you can still get their torrents from other torrent sites.
But Easy TV went down. That's all that matters. I can live without Pirate Bay. I can't live without Easy TV.
The thing about Pirate Bay is it had a lot easier way to find some of them if you're just getting individual episodes, and especially of seasons of shows that aren't on Easy TV.
Well, Easy TV was really good. Like, Pirate Bay was easy when you're trying to find an entire season in one folder.
Yes.
I feel like Easy TV was, for me anyways, in my experience, it was easier to find a single episode on Easy TV.
Because it definitely was, and I like the layout better and the way that you can find it, and it's very clean.
Yeah, just the drop-down menu, and then, oh, here's all the shows.
The only thing I didn't like is it didn't have everything, like every show.
But they updated it. Yeah, that happened. That would happen at the beginning of even that link that I sent you for that RSS generator. Mm-hmm. You'll notice, like, at the beginning of a new season, it'll take, like, maybe this is like an extreme case, okay? But it'll take maybe 4 weeks for that show RSS to update with the newest shows. And then they'll be like, okay, here it is. Because there's a guy that's like programming that site that says, okay, now you have to go find this show. And so I understand he gets behind adding all these shows that show up all at once in October and September. For some reason I was always able to find like the new popular shows, I guess, on Easy TV. Like cartoons and stuff don't show up on Easy TV for some reason. TMNT isn't on there. Avatar isn't on there. Actually, most of the animated stuff I watch never shows up on Easy TV. So that I would go to Pirate Bay for. But live action, like, you know, the 20-minute sitcoms or the hour-long dramas or whatever, yeah, Easy TV always had those. You're watching something super obscure.
Did you guys catch, since Mike brought TMNT up, did you guys catch Race for the Demon?
Nope.
Steve, did you see it?
I'm all caught up.
I thought that was the best episode so far out of season 3.
I have to agree, because Donnie turning into the car was quite awesome.
They let Rob Paulsen off his vocal chain in that episode.
it's like him playing like almost Biker Mice and Mask and yep. stuff all over again.
Yep, it was amazing. And I'll be honest, season 3 to this point, outside of the first episode, it's not going anywhere. It's just them on the farm, and they have these random encounters with various things. Like, I really thought the April and her mother episode was going to go lead somewhere back to Krang and Shredder. I don't know how many episodes they're up to. They're up to like 9, 10, or 11, something like that.
I don't know how much more of the in the country I can take of that show.
I know.
I love the show, but I can't take that country crap anymore. I want it to go back to the city and deal with the actual thing and bring Shredder and Splinter and all those back into it.
I'd love them to at least, even if the Turtles don't go back to the city just yet, at least show what Shredder and Krang and Karai, you know, at least show something else from that part of the show to tell us what's going on. Don't just keep us in suspense and keep us chasing Mikey and his chickens. Sorry, guys. I just... I love, like Steve said, we love the show, but it's just grating on our last nerve.
Yeah, I can't take any more of it. I need something to happen in it, or I'm gonna drop it, because like for a while until the season's over. So at least then I can skip episodes that turn out to be garbage. Moving on, because that somehow jumped from Pirate Bay over to If anybody has any alternatives that they'd like to suggest, you can send them to feedback@geekcastradio.com. And then before we get into the stuff about the future for the show, what are your opinions of the scenario with Trek 3 trying to find a director? I know that nobody knows why Orsi dropped, but there's been rumors of them strongly going after like Edgar Wright.
Well, I think everyone has a list of like, I think all the studios have a list of like named directors that, you know, it's like, who do we want to do this? And like, they just start going down that list. And eventually they're going to start scraping the bottom of the barrel. And this is just kind of backpedaling here for a second, because Orsi, not only did he step out of the director's chair for Star Trek 3, He also stepped out of the Power Rangers movie, not directing it, but producing it. So
that's
I'm,
a good thing.
But I guess it's Power Rangers. I'm wondering if something didn't like happen like in his personal life. Like that's just not there like for the public, like it's not, you know, it's not out there for the public to know what happened, but I'm wondering if like something didn't happen, because that's two big franchises to like walk away from.
That could be. Or he could just be listening to the fans that have been bitching about him for the last 3 years.
I don't think
people have been bitching about everything he's done. I don't think he really gives a shit what we think.
I don't think Orsi really cares. But then again, everyone likes Blacklist, and everybody likes
Scorpion.
Everyone likes Scorpion. A lot of people like Hawaii 5-0. The guy doesn't do. I mean,
he doesn't do bad TV. He does bad movies.
Well, I think it's because he's playing with franchises that are revivals. And don't get me wrong, his first films usually are pretty decent. It's when he gets to that second one, he just totally destroys it. Mm. That's because all it is rehashed dialogue.
But really, he's only done 2 second movies. And okay, so Star Trek, yes. Star Trek was definitely rehashed, but other stuff happened with Transformers too.
Yeah, well, the whole Michael Bay got his dirty paws on that.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't really blame the Transformers 2 on, like, half the fault lies with the people that actually made the movie, and the other half lies with, like, the writer's strike. Like, stuff happened. Big things happened when that movie was being made. So, anyways, that's not here or there. I'm just, like, to me, I would like to know what happened to this guy, because it's like, holy cow. But as for who do I want to see direct a Star Trek movie, I have no idea. I mean, I'll see it, whoever directs it.
Steven Spielberg.
No.
Come on.
No, he can keep his damn hands away from my franchise.
Warren Beatty.
No, I want a guy that can actually, you know, do a movie in the sci-fi realm.
Oh, damn. If you hadn't added that part, I was going to say Martin Scorsese.
I want an intelligent Trek film again. I mean, I know a lot of that lies with the writing, not the director. So, I mean, even in that point, it's kind of moot. But
let's just do Ridley Scott.
Yeah,
I'd like to see a Ridley Scott interesting Star Trek movie.
David, it might be interesting.
David Fincher.
Have like a revisit to the Borg.
You should
That'd be really freaky.
You should do David Fincher and then have Trent Reznor redo the Star Trek music.
Oh my god, that would be mind-blowing.
That wouldn't be half bad, actually.
That would seriously
That be actually makes more sense than a lot of the garbage I've been seeing floating around. But while we're on the unrealistic terrain, the other thing that should be called. What's that?
That's what the episode should be called.
Star Trek, Unrealistic Train.
Rolling off the wheels to an unrealistic train. Jonathan Frakes had his name thrown in the battle for Trek 3, and then he's now publicly saying, I want to do it, and trying to meet with Paramount. So, I mean, of course everybody wants to do it. It's just who they'll actually let touch it.
I find it interesting about Frakes because while he is number one, and he always will be number one, I can never not picture him and hear his voice in my head from that short-lived Fox series Beyond Belief.
I don't even think of him from that. I think of him as Xanatos from Gargoyles.
It's really bad when I think of him, and other than Riker, the only thing I remember him... like I know he's directed Star Trek movies and TV shows and stuff like that, but... Clockstoppers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was, just to give everyone a little bit of behind the scenes, this was years and years ago, so I don't think Steve will matter that I bring this up. We tried to do an MWire episode for Clockstoppers. It never worked out. I don't remember why it didn't, but I remember we tried and we just couldn't. I like the movie, but I don't know.
Did we actually ever record that?
I think we tried to, and I think it ended up like what our original take one for Guardians was last week. It's like, are you recording? I think so. Are you? No. Wait, what? We lost the last 26 minutes? Oh, damn!
12 years ago.
No.
A teenager accidentally activates a machine that enables him to speed up his body so that other people seem to be standing still.
Yep, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, that cat didn't like that very much.
Cat's mad. You can't escape the room.
Hey, Michael Bane.
No.
No. There's no way. What about Chu?
Who?
Not Chu. John Chu.
Why would anybody want Chu?
You mean John Cho?
No.
You're talking about the G.I. Joe guy?
Yeah.
And the Terminator guy?
And the Gem guy?
Because he's been too busy doing everything else?
I'm trying to think who else could... Oh, God. I've recently been listening to the Shaft 2000 movie soundtrack. Oh my God, can you imagine a John Singleton Star Trek movie?
My bad, before anyone in the comments jumps on me, sorry, Alan Taylor is directing Terminator. My bad. But the other guy that we were just talking about was attached at one point. Anyways, I just wanted to get that out there before I got jumped on.
Like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ton of bricks.
Who's bricks? Damn bricks. I don't know.
Why not have... Well, he's probably too old at this point, but why not have Shatner direct Star Trek 3?
Oh, pardon my friend.
Wait a second. Holy crap.
That dude, he's responsible for one of the worst Trek films in Trek film history.
Generations wasn't that bad.
He didn't direct Generations. He did Final Frontier.
Oh. Well, yeah, but that was years and years ago. He's probably learned his lesson by now.
It's Shatner.
Oh, God.
It's... No, like Nicholas Meyer, the guy that did Wrath of Khan and Undiscovered Country, That's a dude that could do a good Trek movie.
Wow. I'm mixing up my directors here. What the heck?
What's wrong over there?
Oh, because the John Chu, you had his name right. That was my bad. The guy that's doing Gem, I mean, he did G.I. Joe, and he did the Step Up movies.
Yeah.
He did really well with the G.I. Joe movie, I thought.
Well, he did one Step Up movie, and he also did... Sorry, he did a bunch of the Step Up movies, and the Justin Bieber Never Say Never documentary.
Well, that's just blasphemy there.
But now I'm trying to figure out who the guy I was actually thinking of, and he did the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh.
Justin Lin.
Justin Lin, yeah.
Now I feel like a racist because I mixed them up.
No. I don't think that's... No. I can save you from this, Mike, because I don't think that's what you were thinking of. I think you were thinking of the guy that acted as George Takei in the Star Trek 2009 movie.
That's John Cho. But I know, but John Chu and Justin Lin, I mixed them up as directors. I had them flipped around because I think Justin Lin was attached to do Terminator originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then but it looks like he's an executive producer in Scorpion.
Yep.
But he's responsible for reviving the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yes, he is.
And turning it into basically Hot Wheels, the movie.
That's not necessarily true.
Hot Wheels with guns.
I didn't say that was a bad thing.
And Vin Diesel.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm used to everyone that I talk to basically trash those movies, and I love most of them.
I will never trash the Fast and Furious movies. I love them.
I love most of them. Tokyo Drift is, I guess, if I now watch it in the order it's supposed to go, it would be fine. But going from, you know, we hungry, bruh, in 2 to Japan in 3, it was like, wait, what? What's going on here? So,
He made up for it because he's directed every single one since he did Tokyo Drift and then fixed his own mistake.
Yep.
How many directors have gotten that chance?
True. all right, what other directors could we think of that could ruin the next Star Trek movie?
Okay, I like Edgar Wright. Who wants Edgar Wright? Like, who thinks Star Trek and then goes Edgar Wright?
What else Not has me. He done? That's
like, zombie movies.
Okay.
You can't really say zombie movies.
Okay.
Come on.
He's done those
Shaun
those
of the
movies
Dead,
with
Hot Fuzz, and At World's End.
And they're all British.
And they're all funny.
That's not a Star Trek movie
no,
to me. Star
not.
Trek is supposed to be serious. Not saying he can't do it. I just...
Hold up.
I don't...
Hold
up. He
doesn't... Hold on. I don't really think... Star Trek is supposed to be serious, yes. But there's a certain level of...
Comedy.
Well, yes. There's lowbrow that's in there. Like, it points in, like... I don't know. It's... There's jabs at each other and sarcasm, but there's not really. It's more.
Some parts can get a little hokey to me, and basically, when I say that, the only thing I can think of that stands out then in defense that I would throw out in defense of my stance here, and this is not, you know, I like Star Trek, I do, but it's what is it, Insurrection, when yeah. Riker takes command of the entire Enterprise with a joystick.
Okay, I will not defend that.
Yeah, how could you? Okay, I want you to try. No, how could you defend that?
It's indefensible, especially when there's people that go to, you know, you have Starfleet Academy, which is there to train people how to fly these ships from a console, yet they can be piloted from a single joystick.
The problem with that episode is,
that was
and
a
I
movie.
Say episode because it's, no, I know it's a movie. The intro and outro music is the Next Generation episode music. There is no original music for that.
Okay.
It's a long Next Generation episode is all it is.
Okay.
It's not a film.
I'm still
That's why
I'm still waiting for you to defend flying a starship with a joystick.
There's no defense for that. It's crap. And then they made Nemesis. And then they finally put seatbelts on the Enterprise. you think I'm joking. It's in the deleted scenes.
No,
Picard's getting his new captain's chair installed. And then he sits down and his new first officer is standing there. And, you know, they modified his chair and put seatbelts. And he's like, it's about damn time.
That's what inertial dampeners were for.
Well, I know, but... They had the entire front of the Enterprise bridge ripped off and the whole front of the ship ripped off, so they had force fields.
Right. No, I agree with you. Star Trek is supposed to be serious. I was just kind of...
First Contact was the last best Trek film we got, and then it kind of went downhill from there.
But damn it, I love the Enterprise E.
I loved it too.
I love everything about that.
I was so mad when they stopped doing TNG films just because of that. Those guys should have got two more films.
I love the way that ship looks.
I know Steve does not want another rehash, but I would love to see a
Star Trek 4 of Voyage
Home. No, I want Steve to fly off the handle here, so just let me finish before you say no to this. I want them to do a Generations 2 with the current cast meeting the old cast from TNG.
I don't get what you're trying to say.
The current cast, Chris Pine, all of them.
No.
What?
That's totally different timeline.
Doesn't matter.
It's totally different timeline.
The timeline at this point is...
They're not going to touch that.
Screwed
They're,
with Star Trek because well, of Spock.
This is an one alternate timeline. It's not even... It's the original one still exists. They can still go back.
Can you look at it? Well...
They could pretend that they could go back and that timeline still exists. So technically, they could still continue two sets of films.
Okay, yes. No, that I get. Because what I was going to say is, I don't feel like what they did is they made an alternate universe. It's not an alternate timeline, it's an alternate universe. Timeline says that it can be put back the way that it was, I guess?
Yeah, which it can't here.
So.
The splinter already happened.
Yeah, the events in the future of like Next Generation future caused an alternate universe to be created in the past. Not an alternate timeline, alternate universe.
Yes.
So I think that's actually a really good explanation.
All as I'm saying is I think it would be kind of cool. If
I never want to see this crew touch another crew again.
It'll be fine as long as the next generation crew all has eye patches and goatees.
Yar, the pirate crew.
I would like to
Star
see
Trek
the,
meets the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Given, I would like to, although the only thing I will say here is I would like to see what the evolution of the Enterprise would be, given that the one in the new in the alternate universe now is much bigger than the original one was. Mm-hmm. I would like
to
see...
Yeah, this one's more the size of the sea.
Yeah, I would like to see the evolution of starships in this alternate universe. Like, how big would the Enterprise D be at this point? Like, monstrously huger?
If they even have one. What says that they couldn't keep rebuilding the one they got?
Totally. I mean, what even says Starfleet's around? We all know Starfleet was obliterated in the second movie. It had one ship.
Yeah, there was only one ship. Or, I mean, two. I don't know. The whole... I couldn't stand Into Darkness. It drove me nuts for numerous reasons.
Let's not talk about that.
I know.
I feel like
Kevin
and
I are still arguing about it on Twitter.
I feel like you and I talk about this Facebook a lot. In fact, you should just go back to an episode where we talked about it and paste and copy that section right here.
Not going to happen, but...
Oh, okay.
But Kevin and I were arguing about it on Facebook when I said Frank should direct. So, yeah, there's that. So, anyways, the future of the podcast.
Yes.
What are you going to do, Steve?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to take suggestions of what people would like to see change and improve or remove or any of that kind of stuff for 2015.
We promise we will take every suggestion under consideration. Yep.
And those we don't want, we'll give to Mike.
No one can see this because it's audio, but I'm flipping him off.
I just thought it'd be fun.
Yeah.
To say.
Jackass!
This is not Happy Gilmore.
Get in your hole! Wow, that was almost like Adam Sandler. Oh, man.
That wasn't me.
I know, no. It was Mike. You almost made milk come out of my nose, dude. Damn. Don't do that.
Just to avoid dead air here, just a little update for anyone that's wondering where or what's happened off the cuff. Joe and Sean Z and Dan and I are still we have a massive Facebook conversation thread going about plans for the show. We decided just to take the rest of 2014 off so I could basically rejuvenate myself because I was producing, editing, and recording the show, and the other three guys just had to show up, and I was kind of tired of that. So what I decided to take the rest of the year off, but we have been streaming every Wednesday night, which would normally be our record time. We have been streaming every Wednesday night at twitch.tv/offthecuffplays. We started about 8, we go till about 10. Right now it's just like the four of us in there doing stupid stuff in whatever game we feel like playing at the time. If you tune in and it seems a little boring, it's because we're waiting for people to show up in the chat and talk with us. So feel free to show up and ask us questions and hang out with us and whatnot. Going into 2015, we will come back. I have a plan laid out for like off the cuff stuff that I want to try to do. The only thing I can say right now is that the Twitch streams will continue and that there will be a monthly podcast, but there will be other content coming too. So that's about all I can say right now without having not officially talked with anybody else on the crew about these plans. So that's pretty much what you have to look forward to from off the cuff, if anyone still cares.
I do plan on eventually doing live shows again. I just don't have anything to show off at this point.
I'm torn. I really liked getting into the whole, the YouTube, the video side of it. Like, that was really exciting for me. It sparked a lot of interest on my end, and I like doing that stuff. But I understand a lot of people liked having the audio version of the podcast to go off of. And I'm not quite sure if I want to go, like, you know, 75% video and 25% audio, like have the other projects. I know one of the projects I want to do is have like a monthly column that shows up on the website. It's something video game related, like every month, like an editorial or something. But I'm not sure, like, if I want, like, you know, to do an audio only podcast, because I kind of like the video podcast. I like throwing it up there on YouTube and having like the gameplay playing behind it and everything. And I understand people want to be able to take it with them, but I don't know. I kind of want to be able to just produce video content, but we'll see what happens. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I like the fan interaction and stuff like that, but I also like producing stuff that I like to produce. And I know that's a conversation we have behind the scenes here. But yeah, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to go all video, or, you know, 75% video and 25% audio. So we'll see what happens.
Shall be interesting.
Yep.
I have a few ideas of things to try next year. I'm just not quite sure what I totally plan on bringing in. I know I'd like to bring in some additional guest hosts and to interact with us, to get a little bit different viewpoint. And having some predetermined topic ideas to bring up, so that we're not necessarily doing news reporting every week. I don't think we've been too bad with it lately, but I don't know. So, anything else you guys want to bring up before we close it out for the year?
Oh, I think that's it.
You know what? F everybody, I'm going to say it. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yes, yes. I have to say ditto on that.
Absolutely.
I don't say holidays, sorry. It's Christmas to me. As Eddie Murphy would say, Merry Christmas, damn it! Too old?
No.
Okay, I didn't get any chuckle from you, so.
Well.
Usually you're full of the nostalgia train with the archaic quotes, so.
Well, I would have gone with the Home Alone one. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal, and have a Happy New Year, too.
Yeah, that one works. So, thank you for listening to Altered Geek Unlimited. You can get a hold of us in the following ways. You can contact us via email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can get a hold of us on the website post. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at geekcastradio, #alteredgeek. My Twitter handle is @scp21, and yours are?
Mine is @boothninja81.
@TFDMike.
So until next time, or next year, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal! And a Happy New Year!